time is 1:15, the 29th of March. I'd like to note that Representative Larson, Representative Furness, Representative Mike Miller, Juno, and Vice Chairman John Cowdery are present today. And anybody, I'd like to remind them to, if they want to testify on this bill, that they speak up and give their name and address and who they represent. Today we're going to hear sponsor substitute for House Bill 165, and it's an act relating to the Alaska Public Office Commission. And at this time, I'd like to have the sponsor testify.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Representative Rick Ewling, and as per the request that was put forth by Chairman Abood, between the Alaska Public Offices Commission director and myself, we have come up with a committee substitute that should be before you in regard to an act relating to the Alaska Public Offices Commission and providing for an effective date. The purpose of this legislation is to clean up the campaign disclosure laws without sacrificing their original intent. In order to accomplish this goal, the following changes have been proposed and are before you. Raising the threshold level on monetary contributions across the board from $100 to $250, which is evidenced in the committee substitute that you have before you. It also clarifies the roles of the chairman, the candidate, and the campaign treasurer, and makes those very explicit in the law. There was a number of rewrites that we worked on the bill to come up with the proper language with the advice of legal services and Mr. Bradley here. And I will be glad to defer to him for testimony at a later time. And if there are any questions or concerns, I'll be glad to answer them.
I should accept a motion to accept this substitute.
This is the sponsor substitute?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we accept the sponsor substitute for House Bill 165 for discussion.
Speaker, I would object at this time. I have no idea what's in it other than a quick glance shows it raises it to 250, and I'm not very crazy about elements of the first or the basic bill, but I don't think I'm very crazy about this one either. So perhaps with that motion pending, we can just continue to discuss it.
Are there any questions of the witness?
Yes, I have one, and perhaps Mrs. Pittman may want to also address this. I know that there's a recommendation, page 4, I believe, delete section 14. But right, to delete section 14, identification and communication, which means that you delete the paid for by and the name and address of the candidate approved on any advertisement materials. What's the rationale?
Okay, the original rationale was that when we looked at the draft, we are not changing any law under that with the amendments that are going to be before you, as I understand you have copies of. The identification and communication would stay exactly the same. The chairman would still be responsible to be listed on the identification of communication, and it does not change that. By deleting that, we're just taking out the amended portion of the law that we proposed originally here. Oh, and I believe I'll defer to Mr. Bradley to be able to comment on that.
Okay. Let me make sure that Mr. Chairman, if I may pose a question. The 15-13-090 is the same, except
correct.
You had added treasurer in there, and you're proposing to amend
correct
to the delete that.
Amendment number 3 that's before you that you have in your packet there indicates that would stay the same, and it would not change. There was some question whether the responsibility would be better put at the treasurer's level, and it was sustained that the chairman would still have responsibility for that.
Okay.
Representative Collins.
Yes. Why on the on page 1, line 20, the name and address of each officer and director, how why has that been deleted? In B.
I'm going to defer to Dick.
You don't understand your question.
In the present regulations, it, as I understand, has the name and address of each officer and director is in the present regulations, but in this section, section 2, it is deleted.
Section 2 or what?
Page 1, section 2.
I think the answer to that question is that when it was contained in here before, it duplicated the same requirement in another place. And when the section was redone, we discovered that redundancy and eliminated it. So the requirement is not changed. It's simply not duplicated.
Any more questions of the witness?
Thank you.
Just one question. In the previous version, you had severely limited the number of reports. Now, and I see now we're back, which I agree with, but see if I've got it right. We're back to 30 days before the election.
Correct.
And then 1 week before the election. And then 10 days after the election. And then 15 days. So we're continuing the same reporting?
Exactly. The same amount of reports have been kept in there. Because of the recommendation of the Alaska Public Offices Commission, I'll let them testify on that also. And specifically what we're doing is we're looking at, from the red tape paperwork standpoint, trying to take out and move the threshold level up from $100 to $250, which will cut down the line item into line item amounts in the paperwork involved with it right now. And that is basically the content of the bill at this point. And it also reclarifies and cleans up the original statutes, which were messy, if I might say, and makes it very clear of who will certify and who will not certify.
Okay, the main thrust is the 250.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any more questions of witness? Thank you. At this time, I'd like to have Lita
Pittman. Staff here, why is it so cold over here? That window? I didn't think it was.
The top.
Oh, it's the top.
Freeze you out over there.
Right. Oh, it froze out over here.
Thank you. My name is Peter Pittman. I'm the Executive Director of the Public Offices Commission. I would like to just make a couple of brief comments, and perhaps I can add some to your question about the principal officers and the group. The way the law is through that portion of the section, it deals with reports, candidates' reports, groups' reports, reports by individuals who make large contributions or who make independent expenditures. The requirement to put the principal officers in every report is really duplicative of what we request on the registration, and I think what properly belongs there is not something that reasonably you would ask people to do every single time, regardless of whether they had changed or not.
Yes, I thought that, but I just wanted to bring it out. When you delete something from one regulation, I just want to make it clear. The reason for that.
It's true. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's also true that there are so many areas of the statute that need work and that we haven't touched on yet that some of these things will get their opportunity later on, I hope. I wanted to speak briefly to the recommendation that the threshold for disclosing the name of a contributor be raised from more than 100 to more than 250, and just say that that's based on watching the size of campaigns since the mid-70s when this law was first passed. when the campaign disclosure law was initially passed, there was a limit to how much a campaign could spend, period. And many people say that would be wonderful if we could go back to that. But because of a Supreme Court decision, that's not constitutionally possible. And consequently, the size of campaigns has grown considerably. And that I provided just a rough diagram of the 1982 House and Senate races to give you an idea of the distribution across the board in terms of how many campaigns received what kinds of monetary contributions. Admittedly, there are a number of campaigns at the lower end of the spectrum, $10,000 or less. But apart from that, if you look at the rest of the figures, there's a fairly broad distribution in terms of at every level that we tallied, there are considerable number of people raising considerable amounts of money. And it's also true that the most interest is generated by the more expensive campaigns. It's also true that the more expensive a campaign is, the larger the list of contributors, so that in particular when you have page after page of contributions, and many of those are $100 contributions, the idea of reviewing a report to see who the larger contributors are begins to be somewhat lost in the process. And hence the nature of the commission's recommendation. I think it's also true that if moving the threshold to $250 had the result of encouraging people to accept contributions at that level, that perhaps there would be no great harm in that. People are would be glad to see campaigns diversify their funding sources, and I think that making the threshold $250 might have the effect of doing that. It's real clear that there are people who deliberately contribute $99, sometimes thinking that means their name won't be on a report, as well as people who contribute $101 thinking their name will be on a report. What you find out is that it depends on how the campaign fills out the reports, whether or not your name is on it, regardless of whether you've given $1 more or $1 less. Some people list all their contributors regardless, and then some people stick to what the threshold directions are. At any rate, it surprised me to see how much spread there was in terms of the fact that there obviously is, as you well know, a lot of money being spent on political campaigns, and they seem to be getting larger and larger. I'd like to make a couple of other comments about things that are in the bill. For instance, in the proposed committee substitute, on page 2, sections 3 through 4, language is added about independent expenditures. But in point of fact, that isn't something new to the law, and it's not something additional that's being added to the statute. What it does is it puts the information at that point in the statute where it talks about the reports. The commission has previously defined what an independent expenditure is by regulation, and that definition has been used for several years now. And so it's not different. What it is it puts that information at that point in the law, so that people are more easily able to differentiate between a group that has to list its contributors and an organization that makes expenditures out of its general fund, or makes a contribution out of its general fund and isn't required to register and report as a group. That's really all that those two sections are about. On pages 2 through 4, sections 5 through 11 started with the section that mentioned campaign treasurers, and it was a little bit like unwinding a ball of thread, if you will. That's because the law mentioned campaign chairman, for instance. It said that you had to identify your campaign chairman in your political advertising. Campaign chairmen were not mentioned anywhere else in the law. People were used to talking about treasurers and deputy treasurers to some extent, although it was real clear to me that people were not as used to realizing that they needed to register their deputy treasurers, because in another place in the law it said that contributions can be received and expenditures made only by, and it listed deputy treasurers, but nowhere else did it really address the relationship between a deputy treasurer and the other people in the campaign. I think it makes sense to call that section campaign officers, because we do want to talk about more than just treasurers in that section. And the amendment number one.
Could excuse me, Representative Miller?
Just a quick question. I really think I approve of this a lot. Does this mean that if a candidate serves as his or her own campaign treasurer, it says on there, if you don't designate somebody, you are the campaign treasurer. That means you would not have to fill out the report, right? In other words, if I don't fill out the report saying who my campaign treasurer is, APOC will assume that I am my own campaign treasurer. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one less piece of paperwork.
That's right. Yeah.
But if I want somebody else to do it, then I do file the report, obviously.
And it does say in the in some of the revised language that you are your treasurer until you appoint somebody else,
yeah.
Which is the logical way, I think, to proceed.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I remember the last time I got a letter from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't filled out that form yet.
Well, it used to have within 15 days of filing your declaration.
Yeah.
Which seemed to mean that we were obligated to collect them, whether there was any other information you really needed to provide us with or not.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, one point of parliamentary, I guess, we have a motion on the floor to accept the committee substitute. I notice that we are discussing that. Do you want to dispose of that motion?
Could we accept this for the purpose of review and discussion, this substitute? Would that be in order?
Mr. Chairman, I've had sufficient chance to look over it now that I'm perfectly willing to remove my objection.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, then I will move that we accept the committee substitute for the purpose of review and discussion at this time.
Any objections?
Okay. Thank you.
That's all right. One of the things that I did start out wanting to propose was more flexibility with regard to the filing of reports. As it stands now, if a candidate may certify his own report, or if you have appointed a treasurer, your treasurer can do so. If, in the case of a political group, the only individual who can file and certify a report is a treasurer. And hence, I wanted to propose that we provide some additional flexibility with regard to that. And that would be to add, basically, the ability of a campaign chairman to certify and file a report for either a candidate or a group. And that's what the amendment number one is about.
If I may, Rick,
yes. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thitty, you mentioned political group. When you say group, are you speaking of PACs, or are you speaking of campaign organization, like Friends of the Candidate, you know, Friends to Elect XYZ Candidate?
When we use the word group, it usually means like PAC, political subdivision, a group like that. Normally, we would say our jargon would be the candidate or the candidate's campaign committee.
Okay. The group does refer to PAC.
Mm-hmm.
Would we have to read the amendment number one in context? The whole thing would read after it's on a little confused.
Sure.
Page
2,
line 22.
Yeah. Would read, each candidate may and each group shall appoint a campaign treasurer. The candidate, the campaign chairman, and the campaign treasurer of a candidate, and the campaign chairman and the campaign treasurer of a group is responsible for certifying all reports and statements required by law. I think there is a...
I does it come back in here? I'm sorry to, what is it, resume here?
Is responsible for certifying all reports and statements required by law, and then all the underlining would continue. Each candidate may, and each group shall appoint a campaign chairman. The campaign chairman and the campaign treasurer may be the same individual. Candidate who does not appoint a campaign chairman is the campaign chairman. Candidate who does not appoint a campaign treasurer is the campaign treasurer. Candidate may certify a report required to be certified by law, even if the campaign treasurer has been appointed. A monument to explicity.
Is that clear?
Well, should that word may be in there?
I think not. I think it is.
That may after group?
Yeah, it comes out.
Here, that's where it is. All right. Treasurer group is responsible for all reports. Okay.
For all reports and statements required by law, I see. Okay.
Is responsible for. Any more questions?
No, thank you.
Okay, and then the final amendment is the deletion of a sentence on page 3, lines 23 through 25. Language to would be: deputy campaign treasurer may not certify reports and statements required to be certified by law.
But I don't see any reason what you just said.
That's the deleted.
I
should read it the way it's going to be after the deletion, right? A campaign treasurer may appoint as many deputy campaign treasurers as the campaign treasurer considers necessary. The campaign treasurer should file the names and addresses of the deputy campaign treasurers with the commission, and it would end there.
Then it's brackets. Bracket A, right?
I could clarify if you
Yes, would you please?
Well, basically, we're taking out that line, a deputy campaign treasurer may not certify reports and statements required to be certified by law. So it's just deleting that sentence, because we are giving flexibility for certification, and by putting that back in, we're limiting her abilities with APOC.
Well, we're not putting this, the deputy campaign treasurer with the commission.
No, that's how the sentence ends.
That's how the sentence ends, oh no.
I see. I get you, okay. The light bulbs. Sort of question.
Is there one more amendment?
Yes, I would. The one you've already spoken to earlier, the proposed changes that are in section 14, which we've agreed after discussing it, don't, there's nothing inherent in whether or not it's the treasurer or the chairman, and we would rather leave that section of the law as it is at this point, because people have begun to assimilate that after the couple of years that it's been in effect, that's the person whose name should appear in that.
Mr. Chairman, are you ready for a motion? For the amendments?
Yes, we got one more amendment. Just delete the...
I think the third one we are already covered. Yeah. I would propose that we accept the amendments to the bill. And I will so move and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? So be it. So basically, this in your cleans up on a lot of areas and is susceptible as amended.
Yes. Yes, it is. It does make some things clearer in different sections that I think will be a relief to people who try to read between the lines about what that means. And I think it's a good start to, this set of sections is in much better shape.
Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, just there's a lot of good cleanup stuff in here, and I'm glad, mostly I like this bill. But the basic thrust of it, which raises the reporting threshold from 100 to 250, I just continue to disagree with, and that's just a judgment call but for each legislator. But to me, $100 is still a lot of money, and if you're trying to find out who is contributing a lot of money to candidates, I guess it depends on your definition of a lot of money. And I think the public has a right to know who pays or who contributes more than $100 for any one candidate or a cause or in opposition to a candidate or cause. So therefore, in spite of the fact that there's a lot of good cleanup in the bill, I still disagree strongly with the thrust of raising that 250%. I would perhaps be inclined to make the cost of living adjustment in the area of $150, but I realize that, again, leaves a lot of reporting for the candidates. But really, it's not all that much candidate that much reporting, because you got to keep track of all of them anyway. It's not like by raising this, you didn't have to keep track of anything less than 250. You still have to keep track just as much as you did previously. It's just that when you make out the forms, this will save you probably 10-12% of your time for not having to type in that many additional names. But aside from that, I don't see that as burdensome, and I think we're cutting out a valuable bit of information for the public, and so I don't want to try to impede the bill right now, and I have no objection to it moving along, but on the floor at least, I'll probably be speaking against the 250 and probably come in with something in the area of a lower figure, probably in the area of $100.
But it is in the intent of the chair today to just hold this bill for consideration of the full committee, but we, Cedar was down, and we have some of the members missing. So.
Yeah.
Is there any more questions of all these?
Mr. Chairman, just one comment. What we probably want to do is have the drafters go ahead and clean it up, put in the amendments.
We have one more with us.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If there's no more, thank you. No more witnesses. I thought she didn't testify. Then it's in. I'd entertain a motion to have the drafters address the areas and clean up the bill as we've mentioned. And
I would so move, Mr. Chairman, that
we'll hold this bill until full committee to a later date.
Your motion to
affect
it. I would so move, Mr. Chairman, that HB, I guess it is, committee substitute, once a substitute for HB 165 be held with the amendments added to it and be helpful for committee consideration.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd object to the extent that if at some future date someone happens to be absent, that would preclude us from taking action.
It's hold it for their review. The committee members may or may not be present at that time.
Mr. Chairman, may I inquire? I understood that Representative Miller was in favor of passing on to the, what is the next committee?
Well, so I had no
judiciary,
if I might. Yeah. If the committee wants to look at it, I'd fine with me too, but I was not going to.
Mr. Chairman, I want to be there.
Well, then you think? I'd entertain a motion then that
right.
To
let me get our
if we get our
Mr. Chairman, I would move passage of HB 165 as amended from committee to the next committee of referral with individual recommendation.
Okay. Is there anything else to come? I'd like to announce House Bill 284. It was an act
designating the bowhead quail as a, anyway, as a state marine mammal. It was canceled because the sponsor of the bill is out of town at the UConn delegation, and so we'll hear that a little bit. Just
a minute. Mr. Chairman, this is a thought. I think that last resolution, which I'm opposed to, is sufficiently non-controversial, and it's entirely, all of the backup and everything is included in the bill itself. I mean, there's just really nothing more to say about it. So if the four of us had no objection to passing that bill on the resolution, we could handle it. If the chairman wanted it delayed or something like that.
It was just a, would you consider a letter we get? There are some language.
We take a brief at ease. That would be House Bill 2. No. Which one was the other one?
I don't know. We don't have it here.
Let's see.
One on the bowhead well.
Yeah, I guess Representative Fuller wanted to give testimony on that one, so we should, probably should hold
this
it.
This is the this is,
oh. Yeah.
So... how would we handle that letter of intent?
Well, she'll have to draft it. We can send out a letter of intent anytime we want to. So I'd certainly want to see a letter of intent before I signed off on it, so she can bring it back at a later meeting. We can still send the bill out, but we can look through the letter of intent later.
Okay. So we'll, with that in mind, nothing more than.
Weird. All right, so let me make sure I understand. Letter of intent goes with which bill?
165.
165.
Okay, what is the extent of the letter of intent?
There were some areas that we're going to highlight that the next committee referral.
Okay. You could probably do it this way. I'm not sure which is the best way.
You have to.
There were some additional points that were created. I didn't just even know this bill.
You got one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
No further business coming before this committee.
Adjourned. That's great.
Oh, well, I didn't realize there was any additional points.
Yeah. 28.